This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that... that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
The share it with a friend deal. Even if that friend is yourself. Your McDonald's. Your rules.
Live your best morning with BOGO breakfast sandwiches only on the McDonald's app. Now buy one bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles or sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and get a second one free. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one per day. Excludes $1 to $3 menu. Visit McDonald's app for details. Download and registration required. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome back to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Dinello. This is our initial reaction show of Fulham's 1-0 victory against Sheffield United. And Emilio, I'll just get us started and I'll go right to you. I tweeted out before the match, I didn't care if they won it ugly. Just win. Find a way to win just when it was about the getting the points, not as much about the performance. We will talk about the performance. But you know what? In the end, watch out Newcastle. Fulham are now 3 points from you. That's the bottom line because they needed the points, Emilio. Your initial reaction?
Whew, just relieved, to be honest. You know, it was fourth win of the season, second win in a week. You know, there's the boys are buzzing now. I'm buzzing now. Again, we
7 points from 3 matches. Not bad.
I don't care. Hi, Steve. Hi, Chris. You know, it's we're all buzzing here. It's 3 points are 3 points. I think that's the key thing. You know, Sheffield United were ugly. Didn't offer nothing. We dominated from start to finish.
Yep.
You know, we made it harder for ourselves than it maybe needed to be, but I don't care. 3 points are 3 points. Another clean sheet. A good finish from Lookman. You know, that we saw the best of him this year. I think that's been probably his best game since Christmas. But overall, it's not about the performance. It's about the 3 points. And what's right. your headline statement? Watch out Newcastle. Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, we're gunning after you, Newcastle now. So, you know, at the end of the day, well done, the lads. You know, you made it difficult for yourselves, more difficult than you needed to be, but who cares? You know, it's all about 3 points and, you know, well done, chaps. Well done, team. You know, let's go to Crystal Palace and turn them over as well. We play, you know.
Why can't they, Emilio?
It's fun to run for us now. Clean sheets.
Yeah.
Confidence. Crystal Palace aren't a great team. Why can't we go to Crystal Palace and get a result there in a week?
Exactly.
Time, you know, we've got nothing to fear now, to be honest. I think we've been saying it. Keep believing in this team. There's still hope. There's plenty, many games in there. We beat a team around us.
Yep.
And, you know, that's all you could do. You could only play whoever's your opposition. And Sheffield United were absolutely poor tonight, but I don't care. It's 3 points and I'm overjoyed.
Right, and again, this is my initial reaction. Fulham went ugly. But really, who cares? Who cares? Yeah, because, again, at this point of the season, the announcers kept talking about how well Fulham play. You know, they move the ball around, but they don't have that cutting edge, that way to really get behind you and get those really great chances and score goals. But you know what? They were braver in the second half than they were in the first half. We'll talk about that because, again, I didn't like the approach. I was afraid that the team would come out scared to lose this match. And Emilio, I think they did. And but you know what? In the end, like I said, we'll talk about it with our initial reaction. But they got the 3 points. They put all kinds of pressure on Newcastle United. Would you like to be a Newcastle United supporter right now?
Yeah.
Knowing that Fulham are breathing down their necks. And the last match, as long as they're within 3 points and the goal differential is good, it can all happen on the final match at Craven Cottage. That's what you want. You want better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, right now, Emilio, you know, and I know Fulham have some tough matches, but I just watched Everton beat Liverpool. Anything is possible this season.
Everything's possible. Everything's possible. And these victories are starting to give us confidence. You know, this is 8 points out of 12. Against Everton, top six team, who've gone to Liverpool and beat them. Yeah, we won away to Everton. You got West Ham at home. We should have won that game. So things are starting to, I'd say, victories give you confidence. Clean sheets are always a good thing, and luck's maybe starting to turn our way. I've said it a couple of times in the last week. I've said maybe a couple moments today might have 2 months ago might have gone against us, but today
that's right.
Those decisions are slowly turning towards us, and that comes with confidence, belief. You know. With the dominance that we had, maybe we should have won more comfortably. We should have created more clear-cut chances. But, you know, let's not reflect on that. Let's enjoy the victory.
Okay.
Let's take 3 points and let's hope Man United turn Newcastle over tomorrow. And then, we're 3 points behind my biggest rivals, Newcastle, who I'd love to send down. You know how much I love Newcastle. I absolutely hate them.
Well, my friend, we might have that opportunity, and that would actually make me very happy as well. I have a friend that's a Newcastle supporter, and I wouldn't mind seeing his club go down, and nothing against him. But, you know, again, I'm not a big fan of his club. So if that happens, so be it. But, you know, again, like you said, we're going to concentrate, obviously, on winning, but we do have to talk about the match. And I just mentioned this, Emilio. I just want to talk about this briefly as we look at the match. Because, again, Sheffield United were there for the taking. The announcers kept saying it throughout the match. You said it to me off air. I said it to myself. So it just felt like there was a lot of pressure on these players going into the match. I could feel it, and I was concerned how would they react to it. And it almost felt like a game in the championship last season when Fulham just wanted to get to the half. They were going to be patient. They were going to get to the half. It felt that way. It felt like they were playing not to lose in the first half. Your thoughts, and I'll also say it was a return of Parker ball.
Yeah, it was in
the first half.
In the first half. You know, dominant. We had a good first 10-minute spell. You know, we got, I think, 4 or 5 corners. You know, we looked not dangerous, but we had intent. We pushed up the field. Sheffield United, you know, for some reason, came to defend and try to get a draw right when they knew they were fighting for their own lives themselves. But 10 minutes, we had a good spell. We had, when Lookman and Robinson were linking up well on the left, that's where we were looking most lively. And Loftus-Cheek, you know, grew and grew into the game. But then suddenly we just started, you know, going backwards and forwards, sideways. There was no cutting edge there. You know, we didn't use Lookman enough in that first half after that first 10-minute spell. And Giesse was going backwards, not forwards. We had so much space, so much time. Yeah, it was just important just to keep possession and protect not to be behind, to concede.
I just felt that
disappointing. We could have been more brave. We should have been more courageous. They were there for the taking.
They offered nothing. Absolutely nothing in the first half. You know, nothing.
And it just feels like it would be nice to go forward, show more intent, get that first goal, and get Sheffield United to open up a little bit more and create more space for ourselves. But we were more comfortable. Just, I thought we lost 45 minutes of opportunity there.
Okay.
You know, that 45 minutes, albeit we had a lot of possession, what did we offer? Very little. And that, for me, was half a game that we've lost an opportunity to take a lead and maybe kill the game off. So, again, you're already on the back foot going into the second half, only 45 minutes to score a goal.
Yep.
And, you know, and then we made it more, and then we made it difficult for ourselves again in that last 15, 20 minutes. It was more painful than it needed to be. We should have gone for a second goal, killed the game off, Yep. And then you can play Parker ball till the cows come home. But we just made it a little bit more, made it a little bit more difficult than we know. And where did that 7 minutes come from at the end? God knows.
I have no idea where all that came. And Benjamin Bird has been messaging. He wants us to talk about the situation at the end of the match with Ariel. Trust me, we're going to talk about that. Mm. We talked about that off air. We will talk about that in just a bit when we talk about the second half. Trust me, it is something that we are going to talk about because I'm sure that's going to be a topic of the discussion with the Sheffield United coach. I'm sure he's going to bring it up. I've watched many angles of it. Steve Lydiard thought it was, to be honest, he thought it was a penalty. But again, we'll talk about it. I've seen many angles on it. But we'll get to that in just a bit, Emilio. But let's transition with our initial reaction show, and let's talk about the approach in the second half. And I could see a change right from the get-go from Fulham. So let's now talk about the second half.
Yeah, you know, a bit more direct. I think there was a bit more intent, more purpose, more intensity there that we missed. Other than that first 10-minute spell at the beginning of the first half, we're in control, but didn't really offer much. Second half, we came more direct, and you know we showed more passion, more desire to win. We knew this was a must. This is the most important, probably the most important 45 minutes in Parker's career, you know, managerial career at the club. You know, he knew this was a must-win game, and they were there for the taking, Sheffield United. And like I said, it took a great long ball from Anderson and it was a great control from Lookman and an excellent finish. But look, we stopped passing all this, you know, one touch passing. We changed our system, played more direct, and that's where we got our reward. So we keep saying it'd be nice sometimes just to change things around a bit. You know, be less predictable. You know, Harrison Reed tried a couple long balls. You know, they almost went to, I think maybe to Lookman or to Maja, but. Yeah, we did change system, but we had to. You know, if we were going to play another 45 minutes like that, we'd never have scored, to be honest. And I think at the end of the day, we created a few opportunities. We carved out some chances. I thought Loftus-Cheek, the first 65 minutes of the game, was outstanding. You know, maybe deserved a goal.
Agree.
You know, with a bit more confidence, that would have gone in the back of the net, but he tried to side foot it rather than hit it hard in the bottom corner. But he looked strong enough for that. But he did tire the last 25 minutes or so. But no, but I thought he was probably our best player up to about 60, 65 minutes.
Okay, very good.
These are the performances we need to see from him. I know it's not translating into goals or assists, but he's behind.
But it's affecting the entire team. Yeah. If he plays like this, it almost is a domino effect because I think he makes players around him react to what he's doing. And again, I thought he was, like you said, for 60, 65 minutes, you could argue he's man of the match. We'll end with man of the match. Was he your man of the match? We'll talk about that in just a bit. But let's go back to the goal because, again, like you said, we've seen the ability of these two players. You talked about Anderson's pass. But also, you know, and listen, you've been critical of Lookman, and I understand why, because he has all of this potential. But we want to see the potential become goals, right? We want to see the goals. He has this in him, Emilio. He definitely has this in him. And this goal showed it, my friend. So let's talk a little bit more about the goal because I know this is what you've been screaming for from Adam Ole Lookman.
Yeah, absolutely. I was his biggest fan before Christmas, but I've said, you know, he hasn't, you know, last few games, he's gone missing, to be honest. But today in that second half, you know, he looked lively, he looked dangerous, and that's probably where the breakthrough was going to come from. I didn't think anyone else looked threatening enough to score a goal. And it was a great, like I said, a great long ball from Anderson, and he's got a habit of doing that. Anderson's crossfield passing is at times excellent, and Lookman took the ball well, and you know he only had one thing on his mind. He was intent on going straight for goal. There were options around him, but you know that was good. He needed that goal for his confidence because he's had quite a few poor games recently, and you know I'm critical of him because he's not performed. You know he's our star player. You know he was our star player before Christmas. We need him to keep doing those special tricks, score a few more goals, take on a few more players. I think he could have taken on the players a bit more often today. With a lot of the possession he had, I think maybe he was looking for the easy pass. But at times we were crying out, go and take your defender, you know, stretch him, get into the box and get a good cross into the 6-yard area. So at times, you know, maybe again, it goes back to what I said, decision making from some of our players.
Right.
When you know, it's, you know, we've got to be more direct at times. Get the ball in the 6-yard box, put your defence under pressure, and, you know, and then hopefully the likes of Maja, Lookman, Loftus-Cheek can score more goals. But sometimes we want a bit too many passes and we try to walk the ball into the net, but Lockman's goal is what he needed. He needed that for confidence, and hopefully that will stir him up ready for Crystal Palace next week.
Okay, very good, Emilio. And after that, you know, it's funny because I want to get your thoughts on how Fulham reacted. You know, I thought that they were still trying to play on the front foot, but you knew you were going to get a reaction from Sheffield United. Then obviously they were starting to create some things. They made some substitutions. But what I want to focus on, and again, it's not that I want to be negative after a victory. That's not what I'm talking about. But again, I've had fans already message us. They want us to talk about this. We have to talk about the substitutions, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially Kenny Tete coming on and changing the formation. And it just, my first thought was, even though it wasn't a center back, it was like, we're going old school back to last season. We're going to really just see this match out 1-0. And I'm thinking, and the announcers were saying this, Emilio, the best defense is to go forward. Be more offensive, go forward. And the decision was made by the substitution, in my opinion, to try to see this out. And we had this happen so many times last season. Your thoughts about the substitutions in general?
Yeah, it's same old, really, to be honest. It's, you know, it was very, very Parker-esque, isn't it? You know, it's all about protecting the one goal lead and trying to create, you know, chances and just be patient in possession. But, you know, I worried when Norwood came on. You know, I thought, I'm surprised Norwood didn't start, because I know what, you know, we know what Norwood can do from set pieces. He's always their threat. Last season, when Sheffield United were in the top half of the table, how many assists did not only Norwood provide to them? Penalties, corners, set piece. He's a danger. And as soon as he came on, he offered more width and more danger. There was a great cross into the penalty area that, was it Billy Sharp who headed it over the bar? Again, yes. How often did we do that in the whole game? How many crosses did we provide in that area? None tonight. I can't remember one cross as good as that Norwood one. So, but overall, our substitutions were typical Parker. Protect the lead and, you know, just keep possession. But on another day, that could have hurt us. And maybe we'll go on now onto the Arioli incident. Because I thought it was more a penalty than not. You know, okay. And I looked at it from different angles. On another day, that penalty would have been given. I would have been fuming. I would have said, Parker, get the hell out of the club. Because it would have been his fault that we end up not picking up all 3 points today.
Oh, boy. That was,
thankfully, decision went our way. I thought it was more penalty than not. But I said it the other day, and I said it a couple of times now, a bit of luck's now starting to go our way. When you've got a bit of luck on your side, those decisions going in favour of you. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, they weren't going in favour of us.
Okay, let's talk about it.
A bit of luck.
Okay, let's talk about it. It's funny because, again, the announcers that we got here were focusing, when they first looked at it, they didn't think it was a penalty. But the more that they replayed it, they thought, well, wait a minute, it might be a penalty. Now, Steve Lydiard, who is a ref, has already been messaging in our messages here that, to be fair, he thought it was a penalty. But when I watched it, and Emilio, you know, again, like you said, luck goes our way. VAR did look at it.
Yeah.
So it's not like it wasn't looked at. They made the decision it wasn't a penalty. And I think the reason being is that Areola got to the ball first.
And the ball went away from him. And the ball went away from him. And then they collided.
And then they collided.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they made the decision. But, you know, it's interesting because the more I watched, I felt like I was getting – different messages myself to myself. It's like, well, if the shoe's on the other foot, would I be saying, if I'm a Sheffield United supporter, that's a penalty? If it happened to Fulham, would we be saying? So that's the way I look at it. Would you be saying if this happened to Fulham, that's a penalty? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at it, obviously, you know, Steve Lydia is probably better qualified than me to actually talk about the rules of the game, but Areola got to the ball first. It hit his knee. The ball then went away from him, and that's when they collided. So if you look at sequentially, you could argue, well, actually, Areola got the ball. The ball was going away from the defender. Therefore, the defender didn't lose an opportunity to score from the rebound from the knee. So maybe that's the reason why I don't think it was given. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, there's two sides to every story. You know, a lot of people commenting here who thought it was definitely a penalty.
Yep.
Chris Wilder saying it was a penalty all day. Steve Lydiard saying it was a penalty all day, and maybe the luck is turning, and you need luck when you're fighting for relegation.
We've had these calls go against us.
How many have we had against us all season? I've said it. We need this bit of luck go our way. Yes, and
they tend to even out over the course of a season.
But the frustration is we should have been 2-0 up, 3-0 up. It wouldn't have mattered. That's my point. It's
right.
You know, Chris Wilder wouldn't have had a reason to complain about the penalty.
If and trust me, he's
really 2-0 down. That's going my to be only frustration tonight.
Yeah,
my only frustration. Kill the game off and win comfortably. But you know, we were dogged, and we got the 3 points. So I'm pleased about that. But we made it more difficult than it needed to be. And unfortunately, rather than celebrating the win, people talk about the controversy at the end. Mariola's. You know, I see both sides of the coin here. You know, I think I thought it was maybe more yes than no, but again, Steve Lidiard, you know the rules better than I do.
That's right. When it comes to these decisions, that's why if Steve says it, you know, I give it a lot of weight because he happens to be a referee. So that's what he feels like. But again, I watched it. Like I said, I kept going back and forth in my head. As a Fulham supporter, I just said to myself, well, VAR looked at it. They went in our favor, but, you know, again, it's VAR and there's all the controversy just with VAR's decisions. So, yes, it does open that up for people to complain, but it goes back to the title of the show, my friend. Obviously, it's, you know, we're putting the pressure on Newcastle, and like I had said, you know, I don't care how they won. They won. I don't care. They won ugly. Who cares? That's the bottom line. You know, we are going to talk about these situations, which I think we will have to, and we will be doing a post-match show if anyone's wondering, and we'll go into more detail on it. This is just initial reaction show. So, Emilio, coming up next, I want to focus on man of the match, and then we will end the show. Okay, Emilio, this is going to be an interesting one. I'm curious where you're going to go with and what the supporters are going to say. If you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts on who was man of the match, because I could make an argument for Ruben Loftus-Cheek in the beginning of the match for, like you said, 60, 65 minutes, but he did fade. So let me ask you, Emilio, who's your man of the match? And then we'll see what the comments are.
Yeah. David, I thought, you know, first 65 minutes for me, I thought, like I said, Loftus-Cheek was a tower of strength. He was outstanding, technically very, very good. Good runs, good movement. You know, he didn't put a foot wrong, but he did tie the last 25 minutes. You know, you arguably give it to Lookman, to be honest. He scored the winning goal, that counts. So that gives, you know, that counts for everything. Good control, good finish. You know, but, you know, there are other times, yes, he was causing him a lot of problems, but sometimes the frustration I have with Lookman is maybe just needs to do, you know, could be with all that talent, just it needs to be a little bit, needs to offer a little bit more, create more chances, but, you know, It's difficult for me. I'm, you know, Anderson as well. I thought Anderson was excellent in defense. He assisted the goal. You could, you know, to some extent as well. So there's lots of people. You know, I'm not sure. A lot of people saying Anguissa. I'm seeing that.
I'm going to share some of the comments coming up.
I didn't see that. I thought his yellow card was harsh. I thought there were worse.
Yes, I agree with that.
That went no yellow card. Anguissa, one foul, yellow card. That really frustrated me. But then his foot was up. You know, in that second half, you could argue that could have been a free kick. On another day, who knows, he might have got a second yellow card and could have been off. I'm just saying, I thought at the first half, he could have been a little bit more assertive rather than, you know, just holding the ball and going backwards a little bit too much for me. And I thought he should have been a little bit more forward running. A lot of shots from outside the box, which went either wide or over the bar. But if you have to ask who was my man in the match, I'm probably going to give it to Lookman. To be honest, I'm going to give it to Lookman. He scored the winning goal. Okay. I've been critical of him. You must have listened to me the last few games where I've been critical. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to Lookman for scoring the winning goal because that's given us 3 points at the end of the day.
Okay. I'm going to share some of the comments. I'm actually going to agree with Benjamin Bird. I'm going to say Ruben Loftus-Cheek because I thought that he gave us the platform to win this match just the way that he played. Was it 90-plus minutes of fine play? No, I think he faded. But I think he was key, and I think he's going to be key. If he can continue up performances like this, Emilio, it can go a long way for Fulham to staying in this division. They need him to play like this. And they absolutely need that.
And maybe he faded is because Magic got taken off. So tactically he was playing out of position, which is why we didn't see, you know, post-Magic being substituted. Loftus-Cheek wasn't a player who was preceding that. So that's probably why I thought Loftus-Cheek didn't play the whole 90 minutes. Overall, 65 minutes he was outstanding.
But you can see the ability. I mean, at times it was like he was a man among boys. You know, just his just the way that he just composed himself and just forced himself on these players and just went around them and just went through them. So again, you can see his physicality, but his technical ability too. You just need him to score a few goals. So he tried, and that's the part of the game. Once he puts that together, man, we might have something for the rest of the season. He could be a very key player for Fulham. So I'm going to agree with you, Benjamin. I'm going to say Ruben Loftus-Cheek, but I got a ton of comments, so I'm going to go through some of them. Stefan says man of the match in Gisa. So then we're going to go to Steve Turner and Gisa. So we are going to have a lot of better and Gisa Anderson. Now this one's going to be interesting. Areola. Now, Areola did make a key save. But and then you have Areola here from Ryan Guy. You know, and again, there are a couple different ways to look at Areola because he did get in there, but you know, there are some that feels that there should have been a penalty on him. So Adam Goff, Anderson. Then we have a lot of Anguissas.
I didn't see that for me. I didn't see Anguissa being man of the match for me. You know, I thought he had a solid game, but I didn't see him being outstanding for me today. I think.
Steve Lydiard has Reed. Let's see. Toby Jones, Lookman for the goal. Ben Lawrence, Anderson, or Areola, man of the match. And again, they just keep going and going. I want to thank everyone for so many comments about man of the match. That's great. And really appreciate that. But I want to ask you about one player, Emilio, we have not talked at all about. We've not talked at all about this player. And his name is Josh Maja. So we haven't mentioned him.
No.
I want to get your thoughts on what he offered. Now, again, I don't know if he got a lot of service there. I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about him for man of the match. I'm curious your view of how he played today.
Fairly quiet. Some good running off the ball, I could see. You know, from the video, from the cameras, and you know, he was hungry. He was a lot of hard work, a lot of running up and down the pitch. You know, I like the fact that he comes and defends as well at times. I think that's noticeable as well from the three games we've seen him. But what service did he have today? You know, again, it's. No, from Robinson. Where's the whip from Robinson today? Very, very poor, to be honest. So I'm not, you know, not Robinson didn't want, you know, I'd rather go back to the lineup that we had against Everton and Burnley rather than today in defence. I'd rather see Tett and Aina playing their correct positions rather than Anderson, than Robinson playing. Robinson didn't do enough for me today. He had the whole pitch there, you know, Robinson. You know,
do you think he was too cautious in this match?
Too cautious. You know, I would like to see them a little bit more charging forward a lot more and take on and stretch their defenders. Him and Lookman didn't link up enough for me. There was that 10-minute spell at the beginning and a spell in the second half, but that's Robinson didn't do enough for me there. But overall, Magic, you know, his job is to score goals. What service did he have? Pretty much zero.
Right.
There was a bit of a moment in the second half when him and Loftus-Cheek got in each other's way.
That's right.
Yeah, there was that moment there. But other than that, it's, you know.
I still think he's active out there, Emilio. I just don't think that he got. I think he's working hard for the team. So, in a way, that's why I wanted to bring him up.
You know, but
you might have thought that he wasn't out there, but you could see that he was working hard for Fulham tonight. It just, you know, again, he wasn't getting the service that he needed.
Yeah, he just wasn't. You know, at the end of the day, it's. You know, he could be an important player for us, but we've got to create chances for him, and we're not.
I'm going to share this because Toby's 100% right here.
Yeah.
Quality of our crossing is absolutely wonderful, and this is causing problems because you have someone that again is a poacher. You need someone that can cross the ball to this guy to get him the ball when he needs it, and the crossing has been bad. I will say this that. And I'm glad that I think it was Steve Lee that mentioned Harrison Reed. Harrison Reed is acting more forward thinking since I want to say 3 or 4 matches ago. All of a sudden, his mentality has been more forward thinking. So and you can see he's taken some more shots, Emilio. He's not afraid to shoot. And I actually think that Parker has been instructing the players to shoot more because there was definitely more shots. Were they quality shots? Most of them probably not.
Not enough, no.
But you know what? I like the fact that they're always shooting.
Yeah. Aina had a good shot, which the
keeper did
over the bar. Overall it was all long distance shots. I'd like to cut defend like we did against Everton last week.
We needed to get behind this team and we just didn't.
I want to see Lookman and the wide men get down the flanks, get the ball in the 6-yard box, and then create chances for your for the Loftus-Cheeks of this world, the Lookmans, for Madja. Do what we did against Everton and we'll score more goals. But
that's
today,
right.
It was,
that's
you know,
there wasn't enough of that. I'm glad that you brought up Everton because they have the ability to do that. But we did not see that nearly enough. And maybe this goes down to, like I said at the beginning of the show, where in the first half, I think that they weren't brave enough. I know that's not a great term, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
And everyone that's watching knows what I mean by that.
It's been a problem all season. Our crossing isn't good enough. You know,
crossing's not good enough. You know, and we're too passive at times instead of being more aggressive. Like you said, more brave. Anyways.
Again, some Adam Goff mentioned when Reed's long distance shot against Everton created the goal. Same thing there.
Right.
You know, stop trying to walk the ball into the penalty area. You know, just
exactly.
Be more brave, change it, be more unpredictable.
That's why I encourage the shooting. I know it's not always going to lead to a goal, but I think it gets the goalkeeper thinking. And I've always been one that, you know, and again, Clint Dempsey used to just shoot for shooting's sake at times. But you know what? I think it opened things up. And I think in a way, just, you know, again, if it's a quality shot, fine. If it's not, okay, at least you're trying to get in the goalkeeper's head a little bit, you know. So anyways, my friend, great stuff. Great stuff. Final thoughts before we wrap this up. And we will have a post-match show tomorrow night.
Yeah, 3 points are 3 points. You know, let's all celebrate that. You know, we're closer to Newcastle. You know, 8 points from 12. You know, I think everyone would have taken that, you know, 4 games ago. I think going to Goodison Park and playing them off the park. Another clean sheet. That's 3 clean sheets in 4. There's some positives here. So I think your headline there, watch out, Newcastle. Damn right, Newcastle, you watch out. Because
I think that they should Brighton, be concerned.
Even Brighton. Brighton are not out of it yet.
Nope.
Brighton or Crystal Palace on Monday.
Nope.
They lose that. they're going to get sucked into this as well. So it's we're putting pressure on these teams. So these teams now need to respond. So well done, the Fulham. You know, thank you very much. We've got the 3 points. We've got a week now to prepare for Crystal Palace. And you know, I expect us to go and get a result there. I don't think we've got enough confidence to go there and beat
them. There is no reason why they can't.
And they haven't got Zaha. Zaha's still injured, I think, isn't he? So he always destroys us when he plays
against
us.
That's right. He's always been the difference, Emilio.
Yeah.
So if he's not available, they're a completely different team. I've watched them, and they're not the same team. You know, listen, we saw that with Everton without Calvert-Lewin. Now you see it with Calvert-Lewin. You see what difference is.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and then we take it to Newcastle, and the Newcastle supporters know – without Callum Wilson, they are in trouble. They know it. That's why Fulham needs to keep on getting points to put the pressure on them. Like I said, if it comes down to that final match, you know, I like Fulham's chances. And again, I would like Fulham to be ahead going into that final match. But again, it's been a lot. Listen, they shaved off up to this point because obviously Newcastle still need to play, but they've shaved off 7 points. I mean, that's a tremendous amount that they've taken off of this the situation that they're in. So anyways, we do have to wrap this up, my friend, okay? So let's wrap this up. Like I said, we will have a post-match show. For Emilio Dinello, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are on. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.